Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you all. Jesus has been given many names in Scripture. We should probably be aware of some of them at least. The Lamb of God comes immediately to mind. The Lion of Judah, Emmanuel, bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000, seems to go on and on, and with good reason, because it's Jesus. But today I'd like to focus on another name that we can rightly ascribe to Jesus. It's the name that comprises the title to this message this morning, No One Else. There's no one else like Jesus. Can you say amen to that? There's nobody else like him. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 and 6, it says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, thou hast not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. And we can rightly ascribe this passage to Jesus. It's speaking of God, but of course, Jesus is God as well, is he not? It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. So Jesus, as we know, is God. And it's a wonderful, you see that wonderful mystery of Christ, the Almighty God on one hand, yet when he came to this earth as a little baby, and yet he's both. He became a human child, and yet he's still God Almighty. At this time of year particularly, you may listen to Handel's Messiah. And there in Isaiah 9:6, that's put to music. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He became incarnate, became a human child, and yet at the same time, what does it say? Jesus is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. You see, and there's none else like Jesus because as God, he created all things. Created you, created me, every star that you look at in the sky and through the Hubble telescope, he made it all. And the Gospel of John, the Apostle John, sets that out right in the first chapter of his Gospel. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And there's no one else like Jesus because when God gave him to us to become our Savior, he gave away his most precious, his most priceless, his most cherished treasure. And all the treasures of the universe that remained, if you put them all together and try to evaluate them and what they were worth, there's no comparison to the priceless gift, the priceless treasure that God gave to us in his Son. There's none other like him. And there's no one else like Jesus because that precious gift, that precious gift that God gave to us is because he's an expression of the Father's love for us. So the love, the gift he gave to us is an expression of his love that he has for us. John 3:16, we know it well. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gift. And in Jesus is hid all the hoarded love of eternity. I love that expression. It's somewhere, I think, in the Desire of Ages. But all the hoarded love of eternity is there in Jesus Christ. All the hoarded love of eternity past and all the love of eternity future, that never-ending, those never-ending eons of time. Even there, the hoarded love of God reaches from eternity past and will stretch on into eternity future. And that hoarded love was all in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ, and it will remain in Jesus Christ. When those shepherds knelt down by his little crib, and a few days later when his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, took him to be dedicated in the temple there in Jerusalem, and the priest held that little baby in his hand. That priest had no idea that he was holding in his hands God Almighty in human flesh. That tiny little human frame, there was enshrined all the hoarded love of eternity. But there was somebody who understood. This little man, a little righteous man called Simeon, and Hannah was there too. But the Holy Spirit had told Simeon that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. So he sat day after day in the temple, just waiting, waiting, seeing one child go and another child, and the priest would take them, bless this child next, this child, dedicate this child next. It was just another day in the temple for the priest. And when that peasant-looking couple came in and they placed that little child in his hands, it was just another child. But Simeon knew that this child was not something different. He was someone different. He knew that that was the Messiah. I'd love to see that dear old man just shuffling over, looking at that baby, and he takes the little child, and Mary and Joseph probably wondered, who is this man? And the priest probably wondered, well, what is he doing? But he took that little child. And he gazed into the face of that tiny little baby boy, 7, a few days old, or maybe he was 8 pounds by now. And that old man stared in the face of that little child. With his mind, he tried to take in who he was holding. And looking in those eyes, he was looking into the very soul of God himself. And after a while, he probably said to himself, it's enough. It's all I can take in. And he gave the child back. And he said in so many words, Lord, I've seen him. I can die now. What a wonderful, mysterious gift that was given in that little child so long ago. And there's no one else like Jesus, because he not only came to live with us, he came to live for us. Jesus walked in our shoes. He came to redeem Adam's failure in the conflict with sin and the prince of this world. Though tempted in all points like as we are, encumbered with our same fallen flesh, he triumphed. Are you thankful for that? And he set before us an example, while also empowering us, if we trust in him, that he'll give us the grace to emulate his example that he set for us. And the victory that he gained, he shares with us over temptation and sin, so that like him, we can be more than conquerors. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no one else like Jesus, because he not only lived for us, but he died for us as well. And we're here to remember this again this morning as we come to this communion service to partake of the emblems of his broken body and his spilled blood. I don't have a lot of time this morning to recall in detail the dark and dreadful sufferings that Jesus endured for us all, that brought anguish and agony to his mind, his body, and his heart. The agonies he endured in Gethsemane and also on the cross. But we can at least consider these words from Isaiah 53 and try and grasp the fullness if we can. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, haven't we just? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God, if you will, put his hand on the head of his innocent little son, took all our sins and transferred it to that innocent little lamb, his own dear precious son. I think I might have time to read a little from Desire of Ages, page 755, the chapter called Calvary. Takes us to the cross where Jesus died for us. And we read, the spotless Son of God hung upon the cross, his flesh lacerated with stripes. Those hands so often reached out in blessing, nailed to the wooden bars. Those feet, so tireless on ministries of love, spiked to the tree. That royal head pierced by the crown of thorns. Those quivering lips shaped to the cry of woe. And all that he endured, the blood drops that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, the agony that racked his frame, and the unutterable anguish that filled his soul at the hiding of his father's face, speaks to each child of humanity, declaring, it is for thee that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt. For thee he spoils the domain of death and opens the gates of paradise. He who stilled the angry waves and walked the foam-capped billows, who made devils tremble and disease to flee, who opened the eyes of the blind and called forth the dead to life, offers himself upon the cross as a sacrifice, and this from love to thee. And there's no one else like Jesus, because in spite of succumbing to the cold hand of death, he rose to conquer it 3 days later. That's why he could triumphantly declare in Revelation chapter 1, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and the grave. Satan has the chains, but Jesus has the keys. The tomb is empty. He lives, never to die again. And his promise is sure to all who die in him. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Amen, indeed. And there is no one else like Jesus, because now he has risen and he intercedes for us before the throne of God in heaven. And there, still bearing the scars of his once broken body, symbolized, you'll see this morning, by the broken bread, and with the blood of his sacrifice symbolized by the grape juice, he sprinkles that blood upon heaven's mercy seat to atone for every sin that you have ever committed, if you ask him. And it matters little how great or how many is the dark list of your transgressions. Jesus never fails to pardon those who in sincerity ask forgiveness. He says to them, he says to all, as he says to the man who was let down through the roof at his feet, the man who was physically afflicted with illness and racked with guilt because of his sins, Jesus said to him, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You read that account in Desire of Ages, Yeah, he wanted to be healed, but more than anything, he wanted peace with God. Jesus read his heart. He looked in that man's face. He knew why he was such a wreck, because he'd lived life as though life was a carnival. He'd gone out and painted the town night after night. He'd had as many women as he wanted. And he thought, this is great. But finally, his sins caught up with him. And he was a living wreck. And he longed to be healed. But above all else, he longed to be forgiven. And Jesus knew that. And he healed him and told him to get up and walk after he said, son, I forgive you. That's all he wanted. But he got to walk as well. So let us remember Christ's mercy today on this Thanksgiving Sabbath. As we partake of the emblems of his great sacrifice, for such is the price that he had to pay to purchase the right that he now exercises to forgive us and absolve us of our sins. You see, unless he had shed his blood, he could not ratify the everlasting covenant, which was a covenant before we ever came into existence, which the Son and the Father had clasped hands that should sin interpose upon this planet with this new race made in the image of God, that Jesus would come as surety. That was the everlasting covenant. It was reflected in the old covenant and it's reflected in the new covenant, but it's the everlasting covenant. But it had to be ratified by blood. And if Jesus had not done that, if he had not gone to the cross as a sinless sacrifice, as much as God loves us, as much as Jesus loves us, that covenant would not have been ratified and made effective, and we could never have been forgiven. All we would look forward to is reaping the wages of sin, which is eternal death. But we don't have to. Praise God. And there's no one else like Jesus. Because one day soon, he and only he will return to this earth in power and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when the wicked see it, they'll flee and they'll call for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them and say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Do you want to be among those? Of course not. You don't have to be. But the righteous who've loved him and served him will see him come. And with joy and glory, they will say, though this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. And our longing for that day when Jesus comes is also to be expressed as we engage in the Holy Communion service. And Paul tells us this. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And that will be soon. Well, perhaps some of you here this morning, you find yourself spiritually on a slippery slope. Your love for Jesus is not what it should be. And you know it. Old habits are reasserting themselves and dragging you down into darkness. And you know it. And the gulf between you and Jesus is getting ever wider. And you know that as well. But somehow your resolve has gotten so weak. You feel helpless. You feel discouraged. You want to be saved, but you just feel there's no hope for me. You need forgiveness. You need deliverance. You're just not ready for heaven. And again, you know it. And as for communion, there's maybe one person that this fits, and you're sitting there and you're looking at this table and you realize what it represents, and you say to yourself, I just don't feel fit. I don't feel worthy. What am I doing here? Well, let me tell you this. You'll never be worthy. None of us will. So let me tell you something else. There's no one else like Jesus. Because even though you're fallen, you see, there's no one else like you as far as he's concerned. He loves you just as much as ever. He longs with all his heart that you should come to him just as you are. Come just as you are. And with the trusting faith of a little child, ask for his pardon and be absolutely assured and know that you shall receive it. Jesus says in John 6:37, she that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So come. Let us all come. And as we do, let us be assured and know that the precious blood of Jesus depicted in these wine cups will again purchase your pardon, my pardon, and cleanse us all from guilt and sin. And we can go and wash one another's feet and come back in here for communion and not sit here in what needs to be a solemn ceremony, but yet not solemn and drab. We can sit here with solemn joy and peace in our hearts and know that I can partake of his broken body and his spilled blood because he's washed and cleansed me from my sins. You can't buy that, but he gives it to you free. And the promise is in Isaiah 55:6-7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. He'll have mercy upon you. And to your God, for he is still your God, for you're still his child, for he will abundantly pardon. May God bless you. We're going to sing a hymn right now. Some of you may know that this is one of my favorite hymns. So we're going to sing it today, not just for me, but for all of you. Sang to the melody of Londonderry Air, Danny Boy. It's called I Cannot Tell. So as we sing these songs, let the truth of them melt into your heart. And be thankful that there's no one else like Jesus who loves no one else like you.
Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am.
Oh Lord, thank you Thank you that you've met with your people, your children, with us. Thank you for this moment where we could just press a little closer into your presence as we know heaven has come a little closer to us. Oh Lord, thank you that through the shed blood of Jesus, as we reach out to him and him alone by faith and receive of what he's done for us, that we can be and are your children. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that it's made available for each one of us. No one need fear that is not for them. No one's done anything too bad that their sin cannot be cleansed and washed with the blood of Jesus. Oh, we thank you that your blood has efficacy, that it's life-saving, that it washes us and makes us clean, oh Lord. And so please, please do it for us. Continue to do it for us, Lord. We thank you that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. More than that, Lord, we thank you that your shed blood gives us the hope and the promise that when the blood is applied, not only will our sins be forgiven, not only will they be cleansed, but we'll be given power to overcome in the name of Jesus and by his blood. We praise you and we thank you. Send us out of here, Lord, with your blessing, your smile of approval, leaving here knowing we are your sons and your daughters. We praise you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.